This is the Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network. What's up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with hosts Tyler Gunther, Joe Pano, and Doug Eddy to bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty Fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Tyler, Joe, and Doug for another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome on in to another hair-raising episode of the Dynasty Happy Hour. Raise your glasses for a toast. We are here to talk about preseason week two. I am your host, Doug Eddy, and I am here with my co-hosts, Tyler Gunther and Joe Pano. What is going on, boys?
Glad to be back with you fellas, man. Ready to talk some ball.
Yep. Week two of the preseason, inching closer and closer to that regular season. You can just taste it. You can taste it.
What does it taste like, Tyler?
It tastes like a delicious burger. The best burger you've ever had. Ooh. With fresh cut fries and ranch dipping sauce. Did I ruin it for anybody there? I dipped my fries in ranch.
From time to time, I used to dip my fries in mayonnaise. Sorry if you stopped listening.
That's a Northeast, right? I've had that a couple times. It's actually kind of good.
It's disgusting,
but it's good. If that makes any sense. But yeah, no, I see it as like, I can get down with the burger analogy, but I also see it as like this big old fat porterhouse steak that just looks so juicy and tender that you get so excited, you flip it and you're ready to eat it, but then you realize you didn't grill it long enough. And it's like, oh, it's just, okay, well, I better put it back on for a couple minutes because it could kill me. But it's a little sloppy, but it's delicious and juicy.
All right. Tell me you guys are like medium rare type of guys, right? Nobody here's a well-done person?
No.
All right.
Good.
I didn't want to have to kick you out, so that's cool.
No, I was raised early on. My mom is kind of weird. She made us eat it like well done, and I never really liked steak growing up, so I had to drench it in A1 sauce, and I really hate myself for that. But yeah, no, only medium rare. Don't put really much of anything else on it. It's a good steak. It's going to go by itself.
Yep. You need to go medium with mushrooms and A1 sauce.
Oh. No A1 sauce. You're just masking the flavor, you know, but the onions, mushrooms, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I like you guys' style. Medium rare is where it's at. Let's be honest. That's how you should eat every piece of meat in the world. So
delicious.
With that said, I want to tell you a little bit about one of our sponsors today. So this coming Saturday is National Fantasy Football Draft Day. And if you're waiting till right now to get prepared, and let's be honest, there are some of you out there that haven't done any prep yet. So what you need to do is you need to go to ultimatedraftkit.com. Use code DHH, receive 10% off the Fantasy Footballers Draft Kit because it's going to have everything you could possibly need for your draft this coming weekend. And then if you're doing one afterwards, hell, you can still use it for that too. But the cool thing about the Fantasy Footballers Draft Kit, it's got videos, it's got rankings, it's got blurbs about players, it's got Matt Harmon's reception perception. It's got all the tools that you're going to need to absolutely dominate your draft. And it's currently updated almost on a daily basis. So as news starts to roll in about injuries, about possible cuts on teams, that stuff is going to be updated all the time. These guys really dedicate their lives to the Fantasy Footballers Ultimate Draft Kit. So I highly recommend it. I have it. I've used it. I had 5 drafts this weekend in person. I had 3 on Saturday. I had 2 today. Fantasy footballed out. But you know what? I'm still here. I'm bringing the energy. And I'm telling you, Fantasy Footballers Ultimate Draft Kit on ultimatedraftkit.com. Use code DHH and get 10% off.
Yes. And Doug, I'm with you. I used the cheat sheet today, and it's updated. It had Sammy Watkins on the Rams. What magazine is going to have Sammy Watkins on the Rams?
None of them.
None. I had the cheat sheet right there. They have it broken down in tiers, which was a huge help for me this wonderful Sunday, and I killed my draft. I seriously nailed it. I think I drafted a championship team. I know we all say that, but when you get Rex Burkhead in the second to last round,
that's a job well done.
That is perfect. Like Doug said, ultimatedraftkit.com. Use code DHH for 10%.
Absolutely phenomenal. Thank you, Tyler. So we are here this week to talk to you about preseason week two. And what we're going to do and how we're going to set this up is we're going to go game by game and give you some bullet points or our one big takeaway that we had from said game that we saw as we watched either the highlights or we watched the game or, you know, we were checking Twitter, checking things out, watching video clips. We do a little bit of everything here. So you guys ready to kick this off and start with game one?
Let's do it.
Itching right. For it. I'm ready.
He is. It's a burn down. No, I'm not going to go there. So
slow burn.
It's a slow burn. I love it. So we're going to start with the Baltimore Ravens versus the Miami Dolphins. And Tyler, I want you to kick us off and give us your one big observation in this lovely matchup.
I was very shocked Jay Cutler smoked more than a pack of cigarettes during this. No, I'm totally
all
kidding.
At once.
Yeah. Honestly, Devontae Parker, we all knew he was going to get targeted more, but wow, four targets when Jay Cutler was in for Devontae Parker. He didn't catch many of them, but he got those targets. And Jay Cutler said after, he is a faster Alshon Jeffrey. And I think his comp towards many people was Alshon. And we all knew Alshon wasn't as fast. Devontae Parker had a 4.5 speed. So he could be right. But I think Devontae Parker's in for a big year. Seeing this really kind of pushed him up my board.
Yeah, man, Cutler, you know, looked pretty comfortable, obviously, in Gase's offense, which was good to see. And he was looking for Parker for sure, and he was launching him. So that was a good first impression, I think.
Yeah, I got Parker as my wide receiver 4. I'll talk a little bit of redraft as we go because it's fresh in my mind. So I know that a lot of our Dynasty listeners also listen to redraft too. But I got Devontae Parker as my wide receiver 4 in a league, and I was stoked.
What round?
I got Parker, I believe it was 81st overall.
I got him in the 7th round.
Yeah.
That's money in the bank. Another thing, guys, is Ajayi, after having that concussion scare, he looked pretty good. He was used heavily on, you know, when he was in there. You know, he had kind of bell cow usage. So that was encouraging to see. He had a couple nice runs and was involved in the passing game. So just to kind of ease Ajayi owner's concerns, he looked pretty good.
It's Ajayi or bust for this team. Oh, don't dig anywhere else. If you don't have Ajayi, don't dig deep. Damian Williams.
I like Damian Williams.
If he gets tons of targets, maybe, but he is not that good of a runner.
I was saying, if Ajayi goes down with an injury or a concussion, he could be a nice filler for a couple weeks.
And that's fine. Like, there's some potential there. But like Tyler was saying, like the whole like focus of the offense will be a bell cow, like Ajayi or bust, like you were saying. That, Damian's fine as like a flyer, but Ajayi is gonna, you know, be the goal line back, the third down back. You know, he's gonna be the bell cow.
All Ajayi, everything.
That's right.
So it's gonna be.
Baltimore news. I think we just kind of realized that Baltimore may have a strong defense, but their offense is not as but we did have a Max Williams sighting, Dosecki.
A couple long completions.
Yeah.
It's hard to get excited about anything with the Ravens with Ryan Mallett as the starting quarterback at the moment. I mean, he's so bad. But I mean, you did see them try to get Woodhead in the game a little bit. Buck Allen's been looking pretty good. So
stock is rising on Buck Allen, I'm telling you.
I mean, it's wide open. I mean, West obviously right now is the lead back, but I mean, Buck Allen, you know, was trying to fight for a role, and I think that he's kind of been the forgotten man for a little while. So we'll see about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that wraps up our first game. Like you said, not too much on the Ravens side of the ball. They're like an unsexy offense right now, but once Joe Flacco comes back, hopefully that'll improve their offensive output, as we can say. So the next game that we want to cover are the Buffalo Bills, hashtag mess, versus the Philadelphia Eagles. So, Joe, I'm going to give you the floor. And Tyler, I gave it to you the first time. I'm trying to give Joe some shine here and have him kick off the second game.
I want to go with my call.
I'll let you know the Minnesota. I'm not from Minnesota, but occasionally I can be nice. I will just
all right, we'll defer to Tyler.
Him go first.
You go because I like the next game. So you go. God.
Really? Yeah. I just gave it to you after you complained. Okay. So wow. I know. It's okay. So my thing is, and I know that Tyler's gonna combat this, but I'm gonna give you my blunt take. So the Eagles were experimenting with Blount in a very unusual
Who's Blount? Fashion.
The Garrett. I will call him
the Garrett. Blount?
Yeah, Blount, whatever you want to call him. So they were using him out of the shotgun, going like east to west, and it was very awkward. I mean, he's used to having a fullback in front of him in an I formation, you know, going north and south, and they were using him like just going on sweeps and counters, and it was out of the shotgun. It was really ugly. And finally, they got him going a little bit, and then as soon as he started kind of gaining some yards up the middle, he fumbled. So it wasn't a great showing for Blount, but I think more so it was just they got to figure out how to use him because they can't use him like that.
Yeah, I mean, he got his number. This game, he got his number 29 back, so that's a plus for him.
He's going to give it back after he gets cut, right, Tyler?
Yeah, and the big news for me is Nathan Peterman, is he going to start sooner or later? The answer is yes.
Yeah, I think you hit on that pretty well. I think you did well on that last episode. You called that, so yeah, I gotta give you kudos for that.
I've been calling that almost kind of when I've seen how the Bills have just destroyed their roster.
Yeah, it's not good.
Anquan, it was so bad. Anquan Boldin retired tonight.
Yeah,
it's not a good thing, but I mean, it might be. It's obviously built more for Peterman, like you said.
It literally is. And the writing was on the wall when they drafted him. I think Tyrod was more of a, we've got him kind of cheap. Let's see what we got with this guy. See if he fits. And obviously he doesn't. Tyrod is not playing well. Peterman is playing good enough to where the offense can move the ball. I mean, Peterman dropped dimes on some throws. You know, his completion percentage wasn't there. He's 10 for 20. But he's just a West Coast guy. And I'm not saying I'm the biggest Peterman fan. I'm making the call that McDermott, that's his guy. That is my call.
I think that's pretty safe at this point. I mean, the offense is not catered to Tyrod at all.
And I'm going to be honest with you. If Peterman is the guy, I like Jordan Matthews a little more because Jordan Matthews is going to be his safety blanket. He's going to be that big slot. And I think Zay is proving that he can play on the outside, so that's a good thing. But yeah, my big take is it looks like Peterman will be the guy sooner than later.
Yeah, no, you had a good call with that. I think we can give you credit there. You know, Shady was in a little bit. He looked pretty good. He looked pretty spry.
He looked dominant.
Yeah, he really did, especially on his first touch, man. I think that in that screen, he looked really good too. But I think, you know, there's a little bit of, I don't know, just the rumors are kind of swirling again about him being a potential, you know, trade target as well. And maybe Tyrod. I don't know. We'll see. They're ready to trade everybody. So I'm not really sure I'd be surprised.
So I'll touch on that. So if they end up trading LeSean McCoy, Jonathan Williams becomes a very valuable asset.
He looked good.
Mike Tolbert, hello.
Forgetting about that. Patrick DeMarco, come on. you know, the thing with Jonathan Williams, I got him in all three of my drafts yesterday, like second to last round late, just in case either McCoy gets hurt or if he's traded, because you know what? That's a guy that he can immediately step into the role and be a 20 touch a game guy, and he's dirt cheap. Usually in Dynasty right now, you can get him pretty affordably. So I think he's definitely worth getting because I think he has standalone value. Even if McCoy does stay in Buffalo, I mean, he could do what Mike Gillisley did last year. And Gillisley was a decent bench piece in a bye week plug-in, or if you had an injury, he was getting you some points in some weeks. So I think Jonathan Williams has some value. So if you can go out and trade for him right now, you can probably get him pretty cheap to an owner that might not be as plugged into the situation as we are.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say real quick before we move on to the next game, I think it was pretty obvious that Wentz and Alshon were really looking for each other early on. Wentz was really looking his way. He had several targets in that first couple series. So that was encouraging to kind of see him kind of going at him, and they started getting some chemistry on slants and curls and stuff. So we'll see about that.
Absolutely. So let's move on to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus the Bortles, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Holy shit, what an awful performance.
This is why I wanted this game.
Take it away. Calgon, take it away.
Because Bortles is done. I don't see him starting the way, like, I heard on a podcast, I apologize, I forgot. Tom Coughlin is a guy who you have to earn your job. And I remember on the podcast, they said, what are all the players going to, you know, think when Bortles is the starter and he didn't earn his job at all? Uh-huh. I mean, Brandon Allen, who I liked last year out of Arkansas, he's been playing very good. I mean, I don't think he'll start over Henny, but I do think Henny actually will start. I don't think Bortles will.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that. Henny's looked much better. Bortles has just looked incompetent.
Yep, and with that being said, A-Rob is a huge buy for me right now because people see Bortles starting. They see mm-hmm. that bag of crap throwing the ball. And they see Allen Robinson getting frustrated. You can get Allen Robinson for very cheap right now because if Henny is the quarterback, Henny is very competent, and Henny will actually get Robinson the ball when he's open. Him and Hackenberg are the two worst quarterbacks I have probably seen play in a very long time.
Hack is so bad.
Yeah. We'll get to that. But
I'd put Paxton Lynch in there too. Let's make it a nice threesome.
Gosh.
He looked the best out of the three, and that is not saying much.
He looked like ass.
Paxton Lynch looked terrible. Terrible.
But out of the three, he was probably the best.
That's bad. That's really bad to be the best.
Do you guys have any thoughts on the Buccaneers at all? Did you see anything that you liked?
There's two takeaways. Doug Martin looked pretty good. They were obviously making him, making sure that they were going to, keep him on the roster for the first, obviously he's going to miss three games, but man, he looked good. So I think his job is solidified and he should be a guy to target after those first 3 weeks are done. If you guys have any comments on that, I have one more thing after that.
Oh, go right ahead, Joe. Take it away.
My only other thing is Mike Evans is going to get targeted a lot. Nothing will change.
Yeah, 5 for 59 in that game. Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing is I think Adam Leviton posted a stat. I kind of like where Brate was in on 69% of the snaps with Jameis, and so was O.J. Howard was on 54%. So they're going to use a lot of two tight end sets. Uh-huh. So a lot of people are kind of, discounting Brate early on, but he's going to be on the field a lot. They're going to be two tight end sets. So just keep that in mind.
Another cheap player I would try to target too was Cameron Brate.
Yeah, he didn't get drafted. He didn't get drafted in my redraft league, and O.J. Howard did. I was like,
yeah, that happened in one of mine too. And I was like, what?
Right there.
Yeah.
Right there, drafters. Make sure that you keep an eye on Cameron Brate. Don't forget about him. He's going to be on the field a lot. He was the tight end who was in the most percentage of slot routes last year. So he's definitely not going away. He'll be like the slot receiver.
Perfect. Absolutely. I like it.
So now we're going to cover the Tyler Vikings versus the Seattle Seahawks, otherwise known as the Dalvin Cook versus Chris Carson Bowl. So I want some thoughts. We'll go to you, Tyler. I'll let you do it two in a row because you're my Dalvin Cook guy. Me, you, and Josh.
Oh, my Grimes. God. Dalvin Cook is going to be so good. He's going to be so good.
I think I'm on this train with you guys.
Their offensive line.
You're on the caboose. You're the caboose.
Better. I'm going to give you a Pat Elflein is going to be the Viking center, which is a very, very good thing for Dalvin Cook fans. I talked to a lot of Vikings people up here. They all agree Pat Elflein has been one of our stars of the preseason for offensive linemen. He was our lineman we took in the third round out of Ohio State. They kind of moved him around. They put him at guard. And, he's a way better center. They moved Berger to the left guard, and that worked. And Dalvin Cook had running lanes, and you saw patience. You saw power again. Like, Doug, you said you saw power at Florida State. I did not because I just saw open field running. So that was
– Sure.
But he ran with patience, power, agility. He is going to be very good, folks. And if you actually did not buy the combine stuff, you won. You won this. Like, he could actually be better than Fournette. And I won't doubt that. The roads – that are going right now, the roads both running backs are taking. Fournette's kind of on that gravel bumpy road at the moment. Dalvin Cook is on freshly paved blacktop, and he is just moving. And
gliding.
I love it. Dalvin Cook looks great. He's going to be the franchise, I think. And what he did in that preseason game, both of them, the pass catching the first game, this game, the running, the whole package. That's what he is.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. He looked really good. I mean, he's looked really good the last couple of games, like you said. He's getting kind of that bell cow usage. He's been in the passing game. He's been in the running game. He's looked very, very spry. He's looked quick, and he's also had some great vision. The other thing is he's been forcing a lot of missed tackles. He had a 144.6 elusive rating per.
That's impossible, Joe. He ran a higher than a 7 second three cone drill. That's nearly
7-2-7. I don't know where does he get this athleticism from.
Yeah, what?
Right. Exactly. He might be good at football though. Let's just throw that out there. He might.
Well,
be good at football.
He can't be because the combine was so poor.
He's a bottom 10% athlete.
You're right. The narrative must be true, right? No, he had 3.86 yards after contact. Obviously a small sample size, but it just proves what we've been here, seeing in college, what we've seen on the tape in preseason. And I think that slow, steady drumbeat is continuing to go for Dalvin Cook, and he's on the rise, fellas, like you said.
So what do we think about the Seattle Seahawks backfield? Chris Carson got some run with the ones
with Russell Wilson.
That backfield looks like an absolute mess. Now, I know, Tyler, you're a big ProSize guy, but what do you guys make out of this backfield? It's heads, tails. Like, in redraft leagues over the weekend, all the Seattle Seahawks running backs slid down the board because no one wants to touch them. And it's kind of the same in Dynasty outside of possibly ProSize.
I think Lacy will get the first shot. He was the free agent that they went out to get. Now, Lacy, he does look leaner. I will admit that. He looks a little leaner. He's not as big as he looked in Green Bay. I mean, maybe getting away from that cheese was the best thing for him.
He's getting seafood instead.
Yeah, and fish is brain food.
Yeah, Pike's Place Market. Maybe he's hanging out there instead of at the Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, that could be it. But at ProSize, he was out with an injury. During warmups, something got tight, so they just held him out precautionary. I don't worry about him. I do think ProSize has a role. I literally think the first and second down is up for grabs. It's Rawls, Carson, who looked good. I will agree. He looked very good.
He has looked good, yeah.
He's a big man that doesn't care. Who does that remind you of? Thomas Rawls, a big man who doesn't care about his body, who will just run into anything. That is a recipe for injury. Yes, I do worry about injury with him and Rawls. I think Lacy is he's a safer running back, which he knows. Okay, I'm going to avoid that hit. Okay, I need a juke. I'm not going to put my head down. That is why I like Lacy a little better for this job. And I think ProSize is the back to own if you're in PPR leagues because he has a role. He's going to be the third down back. That's it. I get my dreams of him not being a three down back might not come true this year, but I still love him. He could be a theoretic light. That's okay with me.
Now, there was a wide receiver that kind of popped up onto the scene for the Seahawks. And I don't have his name in front of me, but I saw someone picked him up in one of the leagues that were in, Tyler.
I was going to say, I was looking at watching the game and I was rewatching it. I was like, who is this guy? Number 18, somebody Williams. I didn't know who he was. Is that who you're talking about? He made two big plays and then he made a special teams tackle the next play. I was like, who the hell is that guy?
I picked him up just because I had a roster spot. I watched the whole game. That catch he had, I mean, Xavier Rhodes was blanketing him. Xavier Rhodes is a very elite corner, and he had a very nice catch. I get it could be luck. I mean, but he had full extension. Why not? He was playing with the first team. Why not take a flyer on a guy like that? You got Paul Richardson, who's hurt. Tyler Lockett, who is still coming back from that injury. He's worth a flyer if you have a roster spot. I forgot his first name, but yes, it's Williams.
Yeah, he did drop like a bomb from Wilson later on. It wasn't like the easiest catch, but it was either going to be a touchdown or it was like right before it, and he just dropped it. But it wouldn't have been like an easy catch, but he should have made that one. But he did have a good first quarter for sure.
Yeah, so there's definitely a name to keep an eye on for you deep dynasty divers out there. So let's go to the Panthers v. Titans game. And I think I know what one of the big observations is going to be. To me, it's Christian McCaffrey. Yeah, pretty good. What do you guys think?
Solid analysis. No, he looks really he looks really good in the passing game. I still haven't seen.
Looks good in the run game too, man. He looks good. He just looks good.
I mean, he definitely does, but like up the middle, I still see that Jonathan Stewart's going to be pretty relevant. I didn't see enough to really convince me in like short yardage or when it gets a little crowded. But man, in space, he's legit and he's got great vision for sure. But yeah, he's electric.
Yep, and I was kind of lower on him. I had him at six for my or five as my rookie rankings, and I'm growing on him. He's a very smart runner, a guy who knows where to be, knows where to go, follows his blocks. I like that about him. I agree with Joe, though. The touchdown upside, is it there? We will have to see. The usage, is it going to be there? We will have to see. And I think Jonathan Stewart will get his. It's all about injury. And we all know Jonathan Stewart is not the beacon of health. So that is something to look out for. And
he's more like the beacon of health.
Yeah. My observation was everybody's saying Derrick Henry looks elite. Derrick Henry looks off to me. He looks slow. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because he skipped out off-season program and all that stuff, but I don't know. There's something about it that I don't see the same player. He's slower. He doesn't cut as much. He's just a big dude now. I don't know.
With him, he's not very agile. He's an insane athlete going straight forward, and he's got moves. But when he had to get stopped in the backfield and kind of redirect and kind of that's not him. He needs a little bit of space to get his speed up. So there's a couple runs where I could see what you're talking about, but he did kind of dominate though after that.
Yeah, I mean, what I did like to see was the pass catching. I think he had three catches for 17, and everybody worried about him coming in. Oh, he's a one and two down back. I think if he took that role, he's got it all. Like, he's not going to come out on third down. He was a good pass blocker this game. I like to see that. And the one thing that I will agree on is the starting offensive line wasn't out there for his whole time. So that offensive line is stout. And like Joe said, he needs a head of steam. With that offensive line, he should be able to get that. I think he's okay, but I don't know if he's not trying as hard in the preseason, but he's got a little more giddy up than that from what I saw.
Yeah, he's so tall though, man. It's so hard for him to cut.
Yeah, I mean, he could be flying, and I'm just like, look at that guy. He's walking.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough when you see how like long he is, like in short spaces to be like that agile. So, I mean, he does need a little bit of space to kind of get moving, but you know, I think like you said, you know, Murray's the number one, but if he gets, you know, his chances, he's going to score touchdowns, he's going to be involved in the passing game. And if something happens to Murray, he's going to be an RB1. So,
yeah, I mean, if anybody can get 18 touchdowns like LeGarrette Blount, even 20, it's Derrick Henry. Let's be honest. I think Derrick Henry.
Sledgehammer.
Yeah, Derrick Henry could be the guy that gets that 20 touchdowns, 20 rushing touchdowns and like 1,000 yards.
Yeah, he was pretty good. He's pretty good, man. They just got to, you know, he's just going to need something to happen to DeMarco to get that full role. So right now he's number two, but he'll still get his.
Yeah, and I agree with everybody. I do think Henry will be elite when he gets his chance. I think he will be a top 12 running back when that time comes, but you just got to wait. And I think that gaslight is on. I've said it multiple times. Just be patient. It's coming. The Henry era is coming. They have to give that guy carries.
Yeah, and just as a redraft note, so I was actually hoping to get Henry late in some drafts, like after pick 100. Yeah, he was going in like round 7 and 8, and I was like, that's a little too rich for me.
Can I one-up you?
Sure.
I have a good friend of mine, Lou, who's on like our third podcast. Mm-hmm. He took him in the third round.
Oh my gosh.
And what? The reasoning is because touchdowns, and he doesn't believe DeMarco Murray is going to last this season. It was a big risk. I get it.
Wow.
But I won't be in that guy's league.
That's ballsy.
I mean, yeah.
That's like a Halo reach right there.
Oh man. Lord. That's pretty rough.
I love the wild stories because just sometimes in redraft, like shit just goes off the rails. And that's like an example of weird things that can happen.
Just imagine this, though. Like, we could be thinking it's crazy. DeMarco gets hurt the week one.
And then Henry's a
Henry beast. And is
and,
the
and
winner.
That would make him look like he, you know, was super smart, but that's still stupid for him to do that.
Oh, I
yeah, he's also a cleric.
Like, those are the kind of things that work out, and he's gonna end up doing something like that next year because he thinks that proved him right, you know. So
starting a podcast.
But yeah, he's like, man, I'm a genius. I can see the future. But yeah, no, that's a little wild.
Yeah, so let's move on to the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Cincinnati Bengals. This wasn't a super exciting game from the limited things that I did see, but I think Patrick Mahomes looked pretty decent, and I know Kareem Hunt had a couple nice plays.
Oh my gosh, Kareem Hunt! This is the Kareem Hunt story right here. I mean, that he took over this game. That's for sure. I mean, Mahomes looked good.
Yeah, like Kareem Hunt looked dominant. He looked like a better player than Spencer Ware. And Spencer Ware, your time's up. I think Kareem Hunt's going to take your job.
No. The guy.
Shun?
They kept him in for like three snaps and they took him out. He's the guy.
You're believing that narrative?
Hunting. I am believing that. I think Spencer Ware is the guy.
If this was week three and they're like, we're only going to play our starters, you know, to prevent injury, then I would buy that case. But they wanted to get a good look of Kareem Hunt, and they did.
We're going to have to make a bet, Tyler, me and you.
No, what I wanted to talk about is Patrick Mahomes and the opportunity that Chiefs could have of just trading Alex Smith to the Jacksonville Jaguars and starting Mahomes.
What about Tyrod? They could do Tyrod too.
Jacksonville could use both. Let's be honest.
Denver could use some quarterback help too.
That is very true. And I wouldn't be shocked if Smith gets traded, because Mahomes, he's dangerous. He's got more of an arm. He's got the running ability that he's shown. And when Alex Smith is out there, you're like, oh, okay, sweet. Ugh. What is it, grilled cheese tonight for supper? That's what Alex Smith is. It's a grilled cheese of quarterbacks. We all like it. He gets us points, but are you really full after it?
Yeah, you're right. No, Mahomes offers the big upside. It's exciting to watch him. You're like, oh, I can. You just want to see him with some of those receivers that they have and Kelce and stuff. That would be pretty fun to watch. So we'll see him for sure this year, I think. But right now we got to deal with the vanilla Alex Smith for now.
The grilled cheese when Mahomes is the lobster dinner.
Yeah, too much cheese can give you indigestion. So that is very true.
I mean, Eddie Lacy, we were just talking about that. But one thing I wanted to say about Hunt between, you know, I wanted to make sure I get in between you guys, okay, that you play nice. I think this was a simple case of Kareem Hunt. They really need to get him up to speed. They need him involved in the offense. You know, they traded up to get him. They need him to be a part of this offense to complement Spencer Ware. I don't think it's one or the other. I do think Spencer Ware is the 1A. Kareem Hunt is the future, but he's definitely going to be heavily involved. They wanted to make sure that they got him some good run to get him ready for week one. And he's looking like he's going to be ready. So I don't think he like supplants Spencer Ware. I don't think that's necessary.
Right. I don't think he does either. Did you guys see anything on the Bengals side of the ball? I didn't really have anything notable.
Joe Mixon is going to start. Joe Mixon is very good, despite the stats of Jeremy Hill looking better. Mixon is a far superior talent on the field. It shows. Jeremy Hill, I'm sorry, you might get a start, but Mixon's going to start really early.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for Mixon's talent. It was the offensive line was pretty rough, though. I was like, oh man,
yeah, they looked bad. But the Chiefs' defense is pretty good.
True. So, but the other thing is, you know, I don't want to ditch your Mixon talk because I am excited about Mixon for sure. But man, AJ Green looked pretty good too. He was out there getting several targets right in the beginning. So he looked, you know, that was encouraging to see after getting hurt last year. So he looked pretty good. They targeted him three or four times right off the bat.
Yeah, I still love AJ Green. I think he's gonna have a nice healthy year and be a top five wide receiver again, which will be awesome. So the next game that we have on the slate is the Indianapolis Colts versus the Dallas Cowboys. And before we get into our analysis here, I did want to apologize. I messed up. Rod Smart, Rod Smith. I know he's not He Hate Me from the XFL. I got a lot of crap about it on Twitter. But I'm a good sport. Like, hey, you know what? I mess up. There's Rod Smith. He's an old Denver Broncos receiver. There's Rod Smart. He's an old XFL running back that used to play for the Panthers. Like, I get it. I mixed it up. I goofed up, guys, and I apologize. I will do better. So with that said, talk to me about this game.
Marlon Mack. I mean, that's the talk of this game, right? Marlon Mack.
Mack Tech.
And Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott being fine without Elliott. That's Cowboys.
That touchdown was nice.
I'm going to do some quick hitters. For the Cowboys, it looks like Dak is safe. It looks like he can actually play without Zeke in the backfield. He's a good quarterback. And so all the doubters kind of hush hush for now. Until, of course, when he has that bad game and then the trolls come out, you know. But on the cold side, Mac, it looks like he can run between the tackles. And he looks a lot bigger than what I saw in college. He looks a lot thicker. And he had a nice move in the hole. So who knows?
He needed that. He needed to have a big game, and he did. That kind of will get him some more looks and reps, you know, moving forward. I think he really needs to follow that up and just keep it going, because, man, they need a playmaker right now. They're struggling.
That offensive line is so bad, and I fear for everybody on that team. Andrew Luck, maybe it's best to just go on the PUP. I mean, that line is bad.
Losing Ryan Kelly was huge. I mean, I don't know how long he's going to be out for, but that was like a surprise. Like, he was all of a sudden needs surgery.
Yeah, 6 to 8. Yeah.
All of a sudden he needs surgery. Like, what is going on there? Like, what? I don't know what's going on in Indianapolis, but that is a huge. He's a beast, and they don't have, you know, this elite offensive line to begin with. So that's really going to hurt. But yeah, they need a player like Marlon Mack to kind of pick it up and give him some juice, because it's going to be tough to get the ball to Hilton or Moncrief and stuff when you have Tolzien as your starter potentially week one.
So let's go to the land of cheese, as we referenced Eddie Lacy earlier, and talk a little bit about a Green Bay Packers versus the Washington Redskins. And I'll actually kick us off, because this is one of my guys, is Samaje Perine. So yes. Had a really nice rebound game, looked pretty good, caught a couple passes. Like,
looked real good.
He needed a good performance in week two of the preseason, because he was not necessarily in the Matt Jones doghouse yet, but fumbling in practice and in the game.
Terrible start.
Last week was a bad start. But he rebounded really nicely, so I'm happy to see this for Samaje Perine. I still think Rob Kelly loses that job at some point this season. So if you drafted Perine in the first round and you've got a pretty big investment in him, you're hoping that these type of things are going to happen, because you want to see him see the field this year. And I think that is in the range of outcomes, that Rob Kelly is a Jag and Perine is the superior player and he takes over at some point. So that's all I want to say about Samaje.
Yeah, I mean, you hit it on the head. I've been a Fat Rob, you know, supporter before, and I still believe in him to a certain extent. But like you said, Samaje Perine does have a lot that Fat Rob doesn't have, and he showed it. He finally he really needed this game, because he really struggled week one, and he's going to really need to kind of follow that up again week three to kind of make sure that he pushes Fat Rob for carries and stuff like that. But man, he looked good, man. He hit the hole hard. Mm-hmm. He had some wiggle, but he also looked really good in the passing game, which was huge. Fat Rob could never have made that wheel route, back shoulder, adjusted, you know, soft hands, and then took it upfield. That was incredible. I couldn't believe that I saw somebody of his size catch that so nimbly. So that was not something Rob could do.
Tyler, you got any thoughts for us on this game?
Yeah, for the Redskins, it looks like Crowder is going to be used in the red zone, which we all like to see. He could have that Randall Cobb type feel to him, where he just sits in a blanket in that open area and absorbs that quick pass that Cousins will throw. I like seeing that. And on the Packers, who is going to step up in this running back battle? Nobody is. Aaron Jones, like, he had a decent play. I mean, Jamal Williams hasn't really shown up. Ty Montgomery,
I mean,
he is hurt, but I get him putting on muscle really worries me, because he's having a lot of these kind of soft tissue issues. And that's what comes with adding weight. So that worries me a little bit. And I like Montgomery. I hope he comes back out of it. I think he's a good running back too for your team. I need somebody to step up week three. That is what I'm actually looking for in the week three game.
And you know what? Just before we go, you know, a great way to try to decide between players who you're going to start on a week-to-week basis is?
Nice segue.
That would be using the Sitter Start app, which you can find on the iTunes Store as well as the Google Play Store. Now, I had the honor to meet Jason last week in Boston, and he was actually on our podcast on Trophy Time.
I listened to that. Yeah.
Thank you. And he came on and explained the app, and he's a one-man gang. This is one guy that does the whole app by himself. So all the statistics, everything is done by him. So I definitely support Sitter Start. It's an awesome app. It's going to give you player news. They're working on push notifications for your players, teams, injury news, status updates on game day. There's just a one-stop shop in this app. And my favorite part is the actual player comparison. So, you know, if you're reaching out to people on Twitter and they can't give you an answer, you're not sure on who you want to start on a week-to-week basis, you can enter it in and say, hey, I got Randall Cobb and I have Marvin Jones. Like, who's got the better matchup? And it's going to run its algorithm, and they're right 69% of the time on over 100,000 player comparisons last year. So 70,000 times they were right when it came to who's going to score the most points on a week-to-week basis between two players. That's an absolutely phenomenal ratio. So I highly recommend you go onto the Sitter Start app, download it. Make sure you put in code DHH after you download. So we want to see that. And you also get entered in for a contest. Jason is giving away two tickets to an NFL game, middle or end of the season, of your choice. Obviously, he's not going to fly you anywhere, so it's got to be relatively local. But he's trying to get more and more people to check out this app. So use that code on there and check out Sit or Start.
Do it.
Yes. Anyone have one final thought on this game, Packers-Redskins, before we move
on? I'm good. Martellus Bennett caught a touchdown. That could be – Martellus Bennett could be a low yardage, high touchdown type tight end. So that was good to see. It was good to see him and Rodgers kind of connecting and seeing possibly what could happen in the regular season. Other than that, nope.
Yeah.
My lone takeaway real quick is I really am not too worried about seeing too much from Jamal Williams. I think it was pretty obvious they want to save him because he didn't really play much last game, and they just really tried to figure out who's going to be behind him because we got Tymont, they got Jamal, and I think they already know they got those two roles solidified.
Yeah, Ty Montgomery's starting to scare me a little bit, guys. I've been a Ty Montgomery, like,
you've been big on him.
And I, so the thing about Ty Montgomery, just real quick before I know we're running a little short on time, so I want to get to the next game. But Ty Montgomery, the thing that drove me nuts about him last year, I owned him in a couple leagues, is a lot like Lamar Miller. He'd get nicked up in game and miss a couple series. And just seeing the injuries start to happen, he's got the sickle cell trait. Just there's a lot of things that are just kind of, the red flag is slowly popping out of the ground for me. I still like Ty Montgomery as a player, but I am starting to get concerns. So I've faded him a little bit in all formats. So just a heads up on that. That's my thoughts. So let's move on to the New York Jets. They're bad. Versus the Detroit Lions. And hit me with your best shot on this game.
Yeah, the Jets are bad. I don't think you need to worry about anybody for fantasy-wise. I don't even know if there's a dynasty player on that roster other than maybe ASJ. For a hold to see what the heck. Other than that, Hackenberg is hashtag bad at football. But I'll stop with the Jets. There's no more time needed on
that. So let's go to the Lions. What do you guys, any observations on the Lions side of the ball?
Amir Abdullah is going to do everything, I think.
Everything.
If I get the whole he's not injury prone. He had a very serious injury last year that could happen to anybody. And he played his whole rookie season. I think they really want to see what they have in Abdullah. He's looked good. He's looked good through camp. He's looked good through the preseason games. He's catching passes. He's running the ball well. Please, Amir Abdullah, you're my only hope.
Help me, Obi-Wan. You're my only hope.
Help me, Amir Abdullah. You're my only hope. I love him.
He looked good. He looked good. I don't really know what people are looking forward to see with him, though. I feel like we already know what kind of player he is. He's going to excel between the 20s. He's an amazing in space. He's a great runner. He's a great receiving back. I think we're going to see him get pulled towards the goal line in short yardage and stuff. But I think he's going to have a good season in between the 20s. I don't think we see anything different.
Did you guys know that Kenny Golladay cured world hunger?
It's
amazing. This guy is amazing.
Kenny Golladay. I mean, you saw Marvin Jones catch the touchdown. I think Marvin Jones is going to be the wide receiver too still. But the thing that gives Golladay hope is TJ Jones got hurt. And, I mean, it was him or Abadaris. I think Gallaudet is going to be the third receiver. He'll get some red zone looks. I mean, you got Ebron there still, and I've never been a big Ebron guy. I think he was way overdrafted. I think he's overdrafted in fantasy. I think Gallaudet still has some play, and I think he still has an opportunity to rise before you really sell.
It's funny how fickle people are, man. Like, we just saw him dominate last week, and everybody's like overreacting to this. Like, I mean, they're just – he's a rookie. He's going to be the
– he's going to be probably the
third I mean, it's good that he actually probably brought his price back down to reality, I guess. But, I mean, I don't think it's changed anything just because they, you know, they're treating him like a rookie. I mean, he just dominated last week, and I don't know. Doesn't make any sense. Marvin Jones is not number two. I don't think that was going to change. And then he'll be third, probably the third receiver in three receiver sets. So, I mean, I couldn't really see that changing anything.
No. So let's move on to the world champion New England Patriots versus the Houston Texans on the field that they just won the Super Bowl in. Oh, yes. So sweet. So give me your hottest Texans and Patriots takes from this game.
I'm going to give you a quick shot. Patriots, love what I saw out of Rex Burkhead. He could actually be the RB1 in New England.
Yes. Talk to me, Tyler. You speak the truth, my friend.
He does everything Bill Belichick wants, and that's catch the ball, run the ball well. He
play special teams.
The perfect fit for a running back in the system. I like him. I picked him up in a lot of leagues. Doug, I know last week in an auction, I said, hey, I'm going to put a bid on him right now, and I won him for a buck. And now I probably wouldn't get him for a dollar at the moment. So I love that. Texans, Deshaun Watson looks like he could be a very good football player. I think he was, what, 3 for 10? But he had 97 yards and a touchdown. He ran the ball. He gives him a different aspect of that offense.
Talk to me about that. How did he get most of that yardage through the air?
It was a – wasn't it a deep ball?
No, I think it was just like a 60-yard pass to Donta Foreman.
That
was my point I was going
to make. All right, well, let's transition to Joe. Right, so I'm going to give you where I left off.
I'm going to give you one play, which Doug just alluded to, and I'll let him finish it off. But 3rd and 2, Deontay Foreman was in the slot, and they used him on a little slant route, and he got open and made a contested catch and then took it all made an incredible move in open field, looked amazing. But 3rd and 2 usage and targeting him, like, I think he was the primary receiver. That's incredible.
Crazy, right?
That's
huge.
You never thought that would happen, ever.
No. I mean, you start – remember, like, you didn't really see it a lot in Texas, but do you remember, like, those videos, like, catching from, like, the jug machine with one hand? Do you remember that?
Yep.
I didn't see him. I didn't know he could do that. So, I mean, we're seeing him used in the passing game like that. That's exciting. I think that's a huge tell for how they see him and how they envision him in their offense and that he's going to be a good fit. So he's definitely somebody I think is just skyrocketing through the ranks.
My last take, Bruce Ellington – he was a big reception guy, a guy everybody was a favorite of everybody's sleepers. He showed well for Houston. Don't sleep on him. They don't have much there other than DeAndre Hopkins, so he could be worth a flyer.
Agreed. And I'll give you a quick redraft note. So in a lot of leagues that I'm in, Lamar Miller was going like around end of the second round or into the third, and I was just like, ugh.
He's in my do not draft list.
Yeah, same here. So Deonta Foreman is going to cut into his workload and wouldn't be surprised if it's earlier rather than later. I'm just going to put it that way because Foreman's been looking great in the preseason. And Lamar Miller, I had high hopes for him last year, but he was just boring and he's always nicked up. So keep your eye on Deonta Foreman as a late round flyer in your redraft leagues. And if you got him in Dynasty, I think his stock is nothing but going up from where you drafted him. So.
Yeah, you can kind of see the offense kind of coming together the way that they want it, the way that they want it to come together. With Savage, it's going to be a little bit different of an offense. Once like Watson becomes the starter and they have that hurry up, you know, and he's got the offense down, they can do the hurry up that Bill O'Brien loves so much, and they can kind of go out of the shotgun and use the Foreman like they used him in Texas. You know, you can kind of see them doing that out of the gun. So it's kind of an exciting, intriguing option once they have Watson under center. So I'm hoping for that.
All right, for these next games, let's do a little quick rapid fire due to time. So we'll just give a couple. All right, we'll just give a take per team. Uh-huh. You know,
so let's go Bears. Yeah, so let's go Bears Cardinals. What do you got?
I'm going to go Trubisky. I know Tariq had a good game. Trubisky right. is going to be the starter. My guess is week 4 or 5. It's going to be earlier than what we thought. He looks like he's actually a good football player. I was a doubter. I didn't like him. He is definitely proving me wrong. He is lifting that offense every time he comes in. I love Cam Meredith with Trubisky. Love it. Trubisky starter. Cardinals side. Honestly, don't have much. I'm gonna be honest with you.
That's perfectly fair. Yeah.
I mean, the Cardinals.
Jermaine Gresham, defense, really late tight end. If you need one.
The Cardinals defense looks great. Tyrann Mathieu looks healthy. I mean, Cardinals defense. If you have defense in your league,
Buda Baker looks good too.
Oh, love Buda.
If you're an IDP guy, Buda Baker.
I got Buda in IDP. I love Buda.
Arians is calling out all receivers, so I think Jaron Brown might, you know, step up to the plate. He's still relevant in this Cardinals crapshoot at receiver outside of Fitzgerald right now. So he's potentially a guy to keep in mind.
All right, let's move on to the Denver Broncos versus the San Francisco 49ers, and I'll go first. So the San Francisco 49ers, my big observation was George Kittle. I've been banging the drum for Kittle for a long time, and I own him in a ton of leagues. He got a lot of targets from Hoyer last night, and he had that nice touchdown along the sideline, broke a couple tackles, looked really athletic, and he is an athletic freak.
Yeah.
So if you can get George Kittle on your team, Vance McDonald's making big money. He's just kind of – he's meh to me. I'm not a big Vance McDonald guy. But George
Vance
Kittle –
Meh Donald.
Vance Meh Donald. Vance McDonald had a farm where he should probably play out his career on. So I'm all about George Kittle. That's my take.
I'm actually going to go with the guy who threw the ball to him, C.J. Beathard, a guy they took in the third round who actually has supplanted Barkley as the second quarterback. They are not tied with Hoyer. They drafted this guy early. Beathard could be a starter in 2018, even this year, if Hoyer falls on his face. They like him there in Superflex. Go get yourself some Beathard.
Or if you phonetically spell his or say his name, it's Beat Hard.
He's from Iowa, so who knows?
We don't beat hard on this podcast, okay?
That's right.
So, okay, I'll give you one 49ers. I'm more excited about the Broncos side of it. But the 49ers side, I think what we're seeing is don't freak out about Joe Williams not getting a whole lot of looks. I think that was by design. They're kind of trying to work out roster spots. They have a congested running back group right now, kind of like the Seahawks. They're trying to get a couple guys together in series to see who they're going to keep and who they might cut. With Hightower was coming out a lot and coming in, and so was Capri Bibbs. They're trying to figure out who they're going to cut out of those two. I think they'll only keep one of them. And, you know, they still got Williams and Breida and Carlos Hyde. So they're kind of trying to work out that group. So don't go, you know, saying Joe Williams stock is dropping and stuff like that. I think that's, you know, fish talk. So anyways, that's my 49ers take, is just not to look too much into that.
Yeah. Quick Broncos take is D'Angelo Henderson looks like he's going to play a role in that team. That's all I'm saying.
I told you. Yeah. Last week I talked about that.
And Paxton Lynch is god awful.
Garbage.
Horrible pick.
He should go to Tampa so he can hang out on their pirate ship.
Let's look at it this way. The Broncos saved the Cowboys by drafting Paxton Lynch.
Absolutely.
And then Raiders saved the Cowboys by taking Connor Cook in the fourth round ahead of them.
It's better be lucky than good.
The Cowboys are like, I guess they'll take Dak Prescott.
Yeah,
they love them, which they're full of shit.
And all the rumors before the draft were like, oh, they love Dak Prescott, blah, blah, blah. You know, and then every time they had a chance to take him, they didn't. They kept passing on him.
Yeah.
They look like geniuses now.
They wanted Connor Cook badly. They were very upset when the Raiders took him.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to hate on the Cowboys a little bit, so that's fine. But yeah, they did, you know, they get the kudos for drafting Dak Prescott, and, you know, it looks great and everything, but they didn't want him early on.
I'm very excited about this next game.
All right, so why don't we roll into the next game, and that is your Los Angeles Rams versus your future Las Vegas Raiders.
Oh, my God.
Tyler, Jared Goff is good
at football. He's good. He has shown me that he can throw on the run. He can actually make passes. He has a good deep ball. Holy cow, you guys. That pass to Cooper Kupp did not have to slow down one bit. He hit him perfectly in stride. That was a great throw. That's another guy, Cooper Kupp. Holy cow, this guy is going to be a very good receiver in the NFL.
I think, but you might be right.
I think this whole offense looks great. McVay, the Lord and Josh Savior. McVay, the Lord and Savior of this offense. Todd Gurley played very well. Holy cow, you put in a very athletic receiver like Sammy Watkins, and it opens up space for a guy like Todd Gurley. This offense is primed to do well. I love Goff, and honestly, this could be your last chance. You get Goff cheap in Superflex.
Yeah. Joe, any thoughts on this game?
I agree with Tyler. I mean, I think Goff's everybody was down on him really, really hard, you know, after a rough rookie year. But, I mean, he had Jeff Fisher. He had not a whole lot working for him on offense. But, you know, in the first year transitioning from his scheme, like the Air Coryell scheme to, you know, more of a West Coast style, it takes a little while to learn it, but man, he's looking a lot better. McVay is a genius, so I don't know. I'm intrigued, especially with the weapons around him now. So yeah, he's definitely a buy low candidate for sure.
All right,
my Raiders take. I just want to go quick. Amari Cooper, why was everybody hating on that contested balls? Like that catch he had was awesome.
Yeah, it was bonkers.
I swear was in the air for like 35 seconds.
Like he
did you pause it?
I don't know.
He was like Inspector Gadget. He had like a helicopter thing pop out of his helmet.
But like, yeah, and the whole entire rumors about him gaining weight and all muscle. He looks like he's gained a lot of weight. And
time for a big year.
I love Cooper this year. I'm all aboard.
All right, we got two more games to go. Let's touch on them quickly before we wrap up the show here. So we've got the Atlanta Falcons versus the Pittsburgh Steelers, which happened a little bit earlier today. So I don't know if you guys get to catch the game or not, but tell me a little bit about what you saw.
I did. I watched all of it. And nice. Just two quick ones. Austin Hooper, I really watched to see his usage. Matt Ryan was looking at him early and often. I love it. Austin Hooper should be in your target list for redraft. He could be your starting tight end, and I think he'll be happy. I think he's going to end up being a top 10 tight end. And with the Steelers,
love it.
James Conner. I'm just saying he looked good. They played him a lot this game to get him kind of going.
He had 20 carries.
20 carries, 98 yards. I think he had a touchdown. He caught passes. He dropped a couple. But, man, he looks like if Le'Veon Bell walks away, Conner could be a good RB2, low-end RB1. Yeah, he's not Le'Veon Bell, but he will be a good running back. He's got more wiggle than I thought, too.
Yep.
There's a run where I was like, okay, who's that? Is that like Fitzgerald Toussaint? Like a guy with a little more agility. No, it was James Conner. That guy can go east to west. And I was very shocked.
Yeah. So Joe, we're going to move on to the next game. So I don't want to like,
no problem. No problem. I mean, I even took Austin Hooper, my guy that I wrote an article on, but that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Go check that article out. I mean, I'm a Falcons fan, and I think I teared up during that article. Just like, oh God, he gets me. He gets me.
Yeah, we bonded on that. I felt good about that.
You did. So our next game is the New Orleans Saints versus the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, in this particular game, this features one of my favorite best ball players, and that is Ted Ginn. And if you play best ball, you want to play it on playdraft.com. It's a DFS site, but they do best ball drafts. So you can do longer drafts, or you can do 30 seconds per pick drafts. It's absolutely awesome. You can fly through a draft in less than 20 minutes. It's a really easy, clean, and easy to use app. So check it out, playdraft.com/DHH. And when you put a $10 into your account, you're going to get a free $10 best ball entry. And with that, you can draft Ted Ginn late and know that he's going to win you some weeks in that New Orleans offense. What do you guys think?
Yeah, he's a good pick. I've taken him a couple times, so yeah.
And best ball is where it's at for Ted Ginn. I couldn't agree with you more. That's the perfect type of best ball pick for your receiver group.
Boom, absolutely. So, any observations, Saints Chargers? This game probably just wrapped up not too long ago while we've been recording. But did you guys see anything in the first couple quarters that stood out to you at all?
You know, just bragging Alvin about Kamara, my boy, maybe. Alvin Kamara, you know, no big deal. No, I mean, honestly, that touchdown run, he looked good. I mean, it's not like he had to do too much. I mean, he looked really good. His vision was great. He was kind of slippery through the hole and everything. But, you know, it looked pretty fairly wide open, but it was great to see him do
it. It was just a 50-yard run. I mean,
yeah, I'm trying to be conservative here because I freaking love Alvin Kamara, but
I'm with you.
I'll be putting out a piece about him pretty soon, but yeah.
Oh, nice.
So I do like Kamara. His dynasty outlook is phenomenal. Short term, you know, he's definitely has a high PPR floor. He's still got a battle with, you know, Ingram and Peterson, but he's definitely got a high floor and he's got some upside if one of them either gets, you know, cut or traded this year or next year. So
Honestly, Kamara is going to be a guy the Saints are going to have a hard time keeping off that field. He has shown both games that he is a quality runner between the tackles. He catches the ball well, and he is a big play guy that they actually want in the backfield. That's what they thought Mark Ingram was going to be. And, you know, he wasn't quite there. Alvin Kamara has shown that he could be a three-down back. I don't think he'll be that till next year. I love what I'm seeing out of him with the Chargers. Hunter Henry is going to play more than Antonio Gates. I saw that. I like Austin Hooper, as we talked about before, more than Hunter Henry because he's the guy. But I do think Hunter Henry will play more between the 20s. They want to get Gates that record for touchdowns. After
and then
that,
put him out to pasture.
Yes, after that, it's game over. Sorry, Gates, but Hunter Henry is a guy they need on the field. He is a weapon that they need. He's going to get playing time. I think people are just thinking Antonio Gates is there. Hunter Henry's going to fall. No, Hunter Henry's going to start. Gates will be in for red zones. And then, like I said, record comes. Boom, you're gone.
Yeah, I got Hunter Henry as a backup in almost all my leagues over the weekend. And I got him in the round 12 or 13. And I was perfectly happy taking him there because he's got some upside. And phew, easy pick and redraft for me. So I think this last – oh, go ahead.
I have him in a ton of dynasty leagues. I just looked, and holy cow, I have him like five. I didn't even realize that. There's a couple I just got in trades this year, and I looked. I'm like, wow, I have a lot of leagues.
Because he's got two first names, that's why.
I have Austin Hooper in more leagues than him, though.
Just like Doug Eddie, he's got two first names, too.
Yeah, well, you're smart. I mean, Hooper's good.
So before we wrap up, there's one more question, and I think it's a loaded question, and I'm going to give it to Tyler. What are you looking for from the Giants versus Browns?
Deshaun Kaiser and
surprise shocker,
and it's actually spoiler alert. If Kaiser plays well this game, they have to start him week three preseason. I think Hugh Jackson is kind of just out there for trade offers. I mean,
oh my god, is anybody gonna trade for him?
The Jags. I mean,
there's enough dumb franchises that will do it. Yes,
that's true. I think the Jags could be one of those teams that are like, screw it, he's better than Bortles.
Ultimate Jags move.
Yeah,
they did guarantee Bortles' salary next year for some reason. So yeah, they might be that dumb.
Actually, they can actually get out of that contract unless he's injured. So that I think that's why he's not going to actually start this year.
But they didn't have to do that, is what I mean. Like they had no reason to do that. So no. they're playing with fire. But yeah, it was like a vote of confidence, I guess. But yeah, it backfired.
Yep. But yeah, it's Kaiser. It's seen what Kaiser can do against a tougher defense. So that's what I'm looking for.
You're mildly excited about that, right? You're kind of excited.
I am very excited.
Oh my god, you are glowing right now. Wow.
I wore my Kaiser jersey to the draft today. So nice. I love it.
I think there after tonight we've solidified that he lights up about Dalvin Cook. We have Kaiser and who is
CJ Procise.
CJ Procise. Well, yeah, but he's, you know, that one was like, he's still slow playing that one, but who was the other guy that he got so excited about? I don't know. There's one other one. But anyways, yeah, you've got your guys for sure. You have your flags planted, my friend.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's gonna wrap up our week two preseason observations. So I just want to let you guys know before we go, don't forget to check out the website, dynastyhappyhour.com. There are redraft rankings from Keaton Denlay, Dynasty Frank, and Gabe Gearing, and Corey Cameron. So make sure you check out those rankings before you hit your drafts next weekend. We also have updated Dynasty rankings. There's a ton of new team previews. All the podcasts that are in the network, and there's a lot of them, the website. And you can actually find the podcast. Yes, you can actually find the podcast on the Sit or Start app as well after you download it. So there's a nice shortcut for you. One-stop shop is all I'm saying. The Fantasy Tilt shirts and DHH sweatshirts. The sweatshirts are currently on pre-order, so make sure you go on the website and get your Dynasty Happy Hour sweatshirt. The cool thing about the Dynasty Happy Hour sweatshirt is that $5 of the proceeds go towards Seth Rogen's Alzheimer's Research Charity, which is absolutely phenomenal. Thank you, Tyler, for setting that up. So pre-order now. So we're only buying them. We're only pre-order only. So no buying these after we order them. So just a one-time thing.
Yep.
And make sure you get it, which is awesome. You can follow all sorts of Dynasty Happy Hour stuff on Twitter. So you can follow the podcast at Dynasty HH Pod. You can also follow the Dynasty or the Fantasy Tilt rather at DHH Fantasy Tilt. You can follow me at the Fantasy Father. So make sure you click that follow button and I'll follow back because I'm good like that. You can follow Tyler at DHH Gunth, I think, unless you changed it again.
Every week. I just had deja vu. It's
give you a hard time.
DHH underscore Tyler.
And I mean, yes, how many Avies have you had over the last like month?
Oh my god, terrible at that.
He's got Avie ADD.
It's because like, do you make it personal and you put your own picture, or do you put a picture of a player you love
or your baby with a mustache?
That was an awesome picture.
It was. I mean, I've liked it's all like of them, but that's the thing is, I can't get used to any of them. I'm like, oh, that's a cool Avie, and then the next day it's gone. I'm like, oh, whoa.
Okay, I think I should stick with the mustache.
I think you should just, you know, go ahead and make sure a picture of Carson Wentz and be done with it.
Let's focus, boys. Let's follow Joe on Twitter at Paino, P-A-E-N-O, so you can follow him and get all his Zay Jones, Anquan Boldin, Buffalo takes tonight because they've been plentiful on the Twitters. And last but not least, I want to make sure that you leave an iTunes review because you'll get a shout out on the show just like Jeremy N. Reynolds is going to get right now in the moment. So Jeremy left us a review and a lovely comment review. Enjoyable podcast. Great advice. Thank you, Jeremy. Because of y'all, I'm using a roster spot in my Dynasty League on Javorius Allen. I'm a Buck Allen guy. I love it. If Weston Woodhead don't make the Buck, in quotation marks, it's a win-win. Still think Woodhead bounces back this year only. At Reynolds JN. So thank you, Jeremy, for taking our advice on Buck Allen.
It was a five-star, by the way. Five-star, Joe.
That's what
Jeremy,
I'm talking
about. Real MVP right there, bro.
So that is going to wrap us up for the Dynasty Happy Hour this week. We hope you enjoyed. Do all the things that we tell you to do, and you will win. But Tyler, what else are they going to do?
You're going to draft, trade, win, and repeat.
Boom! Boom! Happy draft day, folks.
That's all the time we have for you today for the Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Find Tyler at DHH underscore Tyler. Follow Doug at the Fantasy Father. And finally, Joe at Paino, P-A-E-N-O. Check out rankings, articles, and more at DynastyHappyHour.com or follow us on Twitter at DynastyHHPod. Music is brought to you by the fantasy hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour. This has been a Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network.